thank you for the music. I recognize that. We've used that before, haven't we?
Very relaxing, just like you like.
You're in mellow land tonight,
mellow
right?
Mood.
Mellow mood. This is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host, along with Beth here that always co-hosts the show with us. On Vocal Profiling Live, we ask people to call in and give us a sample of your vocal print, and we analyze it right on the air. Tonight, we have a special surprise guest, and we're also going to talk about Bush's farewell speech. We're going to talk about the bong picture of Michael Phelps. We're going to talk about...
Makes me feel funny just thinking about it.
You into that?
I can't say anything on the air.
Kristen Bale, we're going to talk about him, and you're going to listen to a bit of his tirade on the set. We have a big list of announcements. We'll try to do those very quickly. You're up with announcements, Beth.
Okay. Well, first, let's start with Nano Voice, our free program. Go to www.nanovoice.org, N-A-N-O, voice. We're hosting a free class February 19th for all those who have downloaded it.
It's 18th.
Oh, is it the 18th? Okay,
yes.
February 18th. Let's see where to start. Sherry's been on a ton of radio programs here lately, including The Bill and Kelly Show, which she was just on two nights ago. You can get on their archives under, just type in The Bill and Kelly Show, and it pulls up their site. Just today she was on Beyond the Ordinary, that's next week. Just today she was on Rumor Mill News with Raylan Allen. That is currently up. If you go to rumormillnewsradio.com, you can find her there. A nice write-up. I printed it out, and printing it out, it took 5 pages. So, I mean, she says wonderful, wonderful things and really describes in depth basically what Sherry does. Tons of books and articles we've been requested for. Selfgrowth.com wants articles from us. Joanna Cross wants to write an article for her new book. Danielle Grilly also, same thing. A lot of people coming out with books, and they want Sherry to contribute her story and the significance that her work has and will continue to make, hopefully with a big bang.
And there's two authors doing books about us personally.
Mm-hmm.
One is a fictional one about a woman in the Renaissance who had healing power with her voice and what happened with that, and the other one is about the esoteric background, and then I'm going to do a book on the scientific background.
And as soon as those books are completed with titles, we'll let you know what they are so you can check them out.
We are streaming, so you guys can find us on, what's the address, Beth?
Oh, I didn't write it up there before you did that. Okay. BBSradio.com. We are live on there. You can hear us on there. You can also watch us right now on Ustream, which is www.ustream.tv/sound-health-hour.
Slash channel.
Yeah, that's
very long.
Cassie over here in the corner, the producer, giving us the right information.
Yes.
Ben's behind the camera, and Ben is responsible for us doing Kristen Bale. Why'd you want us to do that, Ben?
Films.
Because he's
movie,
in films.
Movie stuff.
Well, let's talk about films.
Hey, Batman, comic book
stuff. Batman. Let's talk about films and movie stuff. We have a surprise guest for you. James Marshall is with us, and his wife, Renee. James, are you on the line with us?
Hi. How are you guys?
You called this afternoon to report on your progress of using some of bioacoustics techniques, and I ask you if you would be on the show. So can you just kind of start at the beginning and explain to the audience how you got involved, why you got involved, and what happened?
Well, exactly was I was listening to my favorite radio show, Coast to Coast, and I heard Sherry on there, and I was healed on a sound bed by a Sikh right before I got real sick. I had a bad reaction to a certain acne medicine, and I basically, it melted my large intestine. At the time, I knew that I just thought I had extreme colitis. We didn't know how it came about, blah, blah, blah. But I went downhill within a matter of months into a near-death kind of 100 pounds kind of thing. And a friend of mine who was a guru and I didn't know he had this at the time, he had a bed with speakers under it. And I laid down on it, took all my pain away. I had peritonitis, and I ended up in the hospital a few days after that. But he took, with knife, it was the equivalent of knife-stabbing pain with sound, he took away agonizing pain for a good day and a half to 2 days. And then it came back, and then I just went to the hospital because we didn't know what was going on. So I've been on this few bunch of years now trying to figure out my diet, trying to figure out how to be okay, constantly slipping into losing weight, gaining weight. My system is shorter. And Sherry just completely saved my life, I think. I think because I really wish that I wasn't precariously in that area. But again, I fell again and went down to 112. And basically all the poisons needed to be pulled out of my body so that I can then digest food again and blah, blah, blah. But until then, I had to digest something. And, I mean, it wrecked my career. I couldn't get out to auditions because people didn't know what was going on with me. I was 122 pounds at best sometimes, so they just stayed away. I looked awful. Skin tone was awful, everything. And my wife, Renee, because, yeah, got more energy than I did at the time. I kept going in and out of being sick. The final drop, they had been in touch. We had all been in touch now and then because of the radio show, and Renee called Sherry, and we all communicated. They took a vocal analysis of my voice, and it was literally like watching an astounding miracle happen before your eyes, just the process of it, because she couldn't possibly have known all the things that were wrong with me and what I was eating and everything, but yet she did. Within a few seconds, boom, and there you go. And then she prescribed a diet for me and said, call this woman. Well, let's figure out something that will absorb for you. And she had to put up with me because I was just, okay, whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. So just completely hopeless and feeling really, really bad. And I was down to 112, and she got me up to 140 within 2 months, taking coconut oil, which I never would have thought, you know, teaspoons and teaspoons of coconut oil. All of a sudden, all this food starts absorbing. All the stuff that I was told to take out, I took out. All the vegetables that I was told to put in, I put in. And I came back. We were all scared. And they weren't letting me know how scared they were. But I was at the point where I was starting to get the adrenaline rushes of somebody who's hanging on for dear life. And I didn't want to go back to the hospital because it's just is more toxifying. And, yeah, she completely, just with a vocal analysis, not even with full treat, because I was in such the red zone, we just had to go for it. We just had to inundate my body with whatever it could absorb. So that's all we did, just constant, you know, constant diet, constant sticking to it. And, yeah, I pulled out of it. It was incredible, you know, and I'm super grateful. And, yeah, it does, it really, really works.
Do you think it's how you being ill, do you think that it impacted your career?
Awfully. Awfully, yeah. Because, I mean, my career, see, what I took, the medication that ended up hurting me was something that also hurts your spirit. It hurts your mind. It gets inside your mind, and it toxifies you. And it's a synthetic medicine, so it's made out of petroleum-based stuff, and it's basically plastic. And I had taken a ton of it, and then when I ended up in the hospital, I was in Cedars for 4 months at about 92 pounds. And for some beautiful reason, I survived. And when I finally got out, I was so toxic with all the petroleum-based chemicals that were in me. I didn't even know how bad that was. And I was always hovering above 140, then down to 138, and then 132. Then for months and years, it would be 138 to 141, and then down to 128 to, you know, all like that. It just kept eking down. And I finally, this helped me to the coconut oil and coconut water that she turned me on to has been cleaning and clearing my system out. So I'm actually getting rid of plastics. I'm watching, and not to be disgusting, but the stuff that's coming out of me, it smells just like the hospital room. I mean, it smells like a pharmacy. And it's ungodly, and it's pretty nasty, but it's like awful to walk around trying to audition when they're pretty suspect that you're either doing drugs or that you're out of it, you're now damaged good because the mood isn't there, the energy isn't there, the chi energies aren't. Because what it's all about when you're auditioning or going out, it's your vibe, you know. It's really, they're looking at your looks, yeah, and all that, but they're, it's your vibe and energy, and your, it's whether you can come in and inspire them. And I had a really poisonous, damaged, barely hanging on kind of vibe.
And this has given you energy to, and the impetus to have a music career. You did an album, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I just am finishing. I did, actually, we're done with 4 songs. I'm not, it needs, for a full album, yeah, it needs a little, you know, we got to keep going, but it, yeah.
How are,
my creativity as far as guitar, first time that it's been like this for years and years. I put down the guitar for 10 years straight during this whole period. For 10 years straight, I didn't play guitar because I went into this mode where I was just literally existing, you know? And it was like something inside of me kept saying, it's, you know, something will come up. Don't just, you know, you've got a family here. You got, you know, and I just stuck in there. But when they, and that's why, you know, when I was talking Sherry up to my wife, you know, and that's why she called. She was, I didn't even have the guts to call at the time. I used to have such guts and such inspiration, such, yeah, let's go get them and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I don't know if you'd want to bother her. You know, just like completely hopeless and completely underconfident and completely, you know, lack of creativity, everything. And now I'm sitting down and actually effortlessly, like, writing songs without meaning to because they're just coming to me. You know, and it's like the playing and the improv. I have dates set up to play out. I don't play out. I don't have the confidence for that. Yeah. I mean, the second I got a little bit of, like, oomph in me again with the nutrition, my mind came back. And I'm still not all the way there. Yeah, I still got a lot of clearing out to do, but I really have a feeling that this may have saved my life. I really do think that.
We used a nutritional consultant program on you. How can people get in touch with you about your music?
Oh, actually, it will be up on a burn site in about a month. I have, let's see, could you, what's the best way to get in touch with my music, like, once it's up? Once it's burnable?
Put Renee closer to the phone.
Yes,
we can't hear.
We only have one phone here. I'll put her on. Hold on, thanks.
Hi.
How can we get in touch with James's music?
The best way to get in touch right now, you can visit his MySpace page, and there are his MySpace music, and there are some, you know, downloadable songs on there, but we will have a link from there that will log you on to his new music that he's putting together.
Renee, what differences have you noticed in James?
Oh, my gosh. well, it's a walking miracle. Let's see. When was it that we last spoke? It was, like, toward the end of the summer, right?
I think we spoke sometime around Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, and then he started, okay, well, what happened was is that he was just deteriorating. Like, couldn't even figure out what to do with him anymore, and his body was just falling apart. He was so thin, and he hid because people would look at him, and they were scared when they saw him. You watch their reaction go, oh, my God, this poor guy's dying. And he didn't want to go to the doctor, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Am I going to have to force him? Do I need to call an ambulance? Dropped down to like 112 pounds. He looked like a concentration camp guy. His clothes were hanging on him. And he was eating all day long, and nothing was absorbing, not even water. And his lips were really dry, and he had black under his eyes. And the weird thing about it is he'd lay in the sun. This was very strange. He would lay in the sun and try to absorb some sunshine, and he would stay this pasty, pale color. And then after I was like, I got to call Sherry. She did a voice thing. You did the voice thing. And then you're like, he needs to get off of this, and do what you told him to do. And within an hour of doing a couple of the things, he was like, whoa, I feel different. And then within a week, he was like, oh, my gosh, I think there's hope. Within a month, he had put on, you know, at least 15 pounds. I mean, within a week, he put in like about 15 pounds. About a month, the first 15. Yeah, so Yeah, so it was the weight went on, it just kept coming on, and it was like all of a sudden his skin color changed. He looked like he'd been surfing at the beach all day. His posture was different, his body looked different, his hair texture, and his eyes had this, they always seemed red, and they couldn't see, like, the spark in his eye anymore. Now when he looks at you, he just has that beautiful look, and it was funny because Piper and Lori had ran into us a while prior to this. She used to be on Twin Peaks as well, and she had seen him, and she was worried about him. She had told a friend that she was worried about him, and then recently I had done some interior design stuff on her house, and James came walking up, and she goes, "Oh, my God, it is so good to see you, your beautiful self back again. You look wonderful. How fabulous." She was so excited. So the change started happening pretty much immediately. It was like just each day. From the moment that we started doing, you know, the regimen, dropped what you told him he had to stop eating, got rid of everything that you told him to, and then moved on to what we were, it was like every day, every hour, and he was, now we're here. It's a miracle.
And this is his improvement in getting his life back, you told me today, has encouraged you to start a health center using this technique.
Yes, I am. Because I know there's more people walking out there feeling what I've watched him go through, and it's, you know, we have a child together, and seeing my son watch his father go through this is just really painful. And I was like, you know what? There's more people out there that need help, and whatever we can do to help, we're gonna do that. So we've opened up the center, and we're going to be incorporating all of your work in there. So we're really excited.
When it gets up and going, we'll have you back on the show to talk about this again and how you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. But, yeah, we're definite believers. I mean...
Well, thank you and James for being with us. And if you want to watch the rest of the show,
uh-huh,
go on your computer and
yep,
go to bbsradio.com.
Uh-huh.
That's Boy Boy Sam, bbsradio.com.
Okay.
And I certainly appreciate you calling me today. It made my day knowing that he was getting well.
And he's so happy, and thank you so much for your support and all your help, and you are a woman ahead of your time, that is for sure.
Thank you, Renee.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye,
Tomas.
Really,
talking soon.
Bye now.
Okay, bye.
Was that a surprise?
That was. You know, and I've heard you talk about him before, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Twin Peaks. I'm not sure which one he is, though. And then look at his picture, and A Few Good Men, he was one of the guys that was on trial. There were two guys on trial, and you know, he was the white one. There was a white guy and a black guy. That's crazy. I'm looking at him all like, I totally know this guy's seen in the movie. I just didn't know that was him.
It's wonderful to be able to help people.
Yeah.
You know, on this show, Vocal Profiling, like, we kind of treat this as entertainment.
It's for fun.
But this is really
sort of
some serious stuff we were doing here. And we see that in the clinic every day. Real serious stuff, but you know, you can't have 10 minutes of silence on the radio while you crunch numbers and see what's going on, so we just do it for fun. So here is an ability for you guys to call us. There's the number, 740-698-0670. Don't call us if you're on the cell, it cuts out, it's kind of a crummy thing. Also, here's the, well, I thought we had the addresses here. But this is tonight's lineup: Bush's farewell speech, Christian Bale, whoops, I didn't get to Dashiell, and the bong incident. You probably want to know about that, don't you, Ben?
Sure.
I think the printout for that was really funny. And this is a computer. These things we're going to show you were done by the computer. I didn't write anything in. The computer knew it. Can you see this? This is the Ustream where you can go look at all of our, how many have we done? Like 10? More than 10, Cassie? 10 shows? You know?
Nine.
Nine shows? Okay, so www.u,
Ustream, just the letter U, ustream.tv/channel-sound-health-hour. That's a
lot.
That's so long. Or YouTube.com. And what happens with YouTube is that Ben takes all the good bits out of the whole hour show. What did you do last week? What did you...
Barack Obama.
Did you do both? What did we do? Burris and Barack Obama?
You don't watch them, Sharon?
I watched some of them, but, you know, I can't stand watching me.
It's amazing. It's just Barack Obama. The whole 10 minutes.
Well, we did one on
Blagojevich.
He's guilty, guys.
But, you know, the Barack Obama show is apparently pretty popular because I've spoken to a few people that watch that. In fact, some of the people, the show Sherry's been on, they saw that and they're like, wow, this is crazy. We have Hepatitis woman. And,
I got a lot of calls from it, from radio shows that wanted us to do shows.
Mm-hmm.
I shall not desert BBS. Here's where you can get in touch with us. Our phone number at the office, 740-698-9119. And for the Nano Voice program that Beth was talking about, NANO, Nano, being small, voice, one word, nanovoice.org, a free program that we're doing the free class for. We'll give you more information about that later.
February 18th, not 19th.
And we also have free videos, free flyers, free lots of stuff. And this is where you can get me if you'd like. Somebody bombed our radio vocal profiling site, and they were very sneaky about it. I tested it about 10 minutes before we went on. I just had this urge. Let's test it again, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before we're going on, and somebody bombed it. It's going into the ozone. So we've got a new address because we don't know who's messing with us. So Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, on air, one word, Sherry on air, @gmail.com. And I'm repeating that because a lot of people don't watch this. So we can't just point to something up here on the screen.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where we're coming from. At the school, and I know our regular people have seen this before, but bear with me while I set up what we're doing, because Beth sent out a great big mailing, and so there may be new people on with us today. That's me up in the corner. We should get your picture up here.
No, I'm not fitted in. I don't take a picture.
Well, you're gorgeous. This is the Nano Voice that we're giving away, and why are we giving it away? It's mostly, well, not mostly, sometimes based on The Secret, that movie that's very, very popular, and it tells you you can have exactly what you want, but it doesn't tell you what's inside and what's real for you. So you may think you want a Mercedes, and that's going to make you happy, but you can talk to this little Nano Voice program, and do I want a Mercedes? Do I want a Hummer? Do I want a whatever? And it will tell you what's good for you by the balance of your voice, or if it's between this date and this date and this date, or this job and this job. It gives you the information. And I think what's going to happen with this is going to convince people that the voice really holds information about them, and it's very, very accurate. And that's why we're giving it away to people. And one woman said, "You're giving it away. What's wrong with it?" That's a tainted idea. We're giving it away because people need it. Everybody needs it. We're on this brink of getting to know what's real for you without peer pressure, without shoulds, without oughts, without all of that stuff that we overlay on what our life should be. And this is the way to get to the real core of you. We call this Inner Sense software. And we're providing it free because we have to, because it's too important not to, because we know that whoever controls health controls the people. And we're trying to give that back to you, that dominion, especially your personality and your emotions and what's going on with them, give that back to you in a way that you can look at what's real for you. And we'd like to take it a step further. The Nano Voice is a time domain, but we take it a step further, which is what we did with James Marshall, and we're able to look at very specific things in people's voice and in their health, and then we can help them reverse it just by looking at the kinds of food. He was eating a lot of meat, and that was really continuing to poison him, And we could see that in his vocal trance. So we do both of those kinds of evaluations. And we have free classes for that, too. You can write to us. Use one of these numbers. Class at Vocal Profiling is a good one to get in touch with the free classes. What can you do with this? Well, this is one of the things we did last week in looking at Obama's swearing-in speech. And what I like about this, you can't wholly see that on here. This says you have high ideals and expect the same of others. Others see you as having leadership potential, but they resent you for the same reason. Your highest note is associated with your internal perspective of service. You sometimes help others to the detriment of yourself. Your emotions run strong. They influence your health. You actively seek to bring spirit to your interactions. I think this is an incredible thing to look at it as his wearing a speech. And it became all kind of garbled, and he had this surprised look on his face when the Chief Justice wasn't saying the right things, and he was kind of surprised. But what I like about this is the spirit. Very high A sharp, very high B. And it's green, and we'll tell you what that means in a minute. But this is service and spirit. Very, very high. His emotions, his ego was high. I would expect it to be high. And he's getting sworn in as the president of the U.S. But he has a balanced chart here with the exception of this very, very high A sharp and B. And when you take those two together with the rest of the chart, it means high spirituality and high service, and it's all the notes of green, so doing something about it. If they were just alone, it'd be a very, very narrow kind of perspective. But I like this idea that he has all of the colors in there. And the colors, the blue is spiritual, minister type. The green is due, like a farmer. They grow green things, you can remember that. They do things with forethought. Yellow is the lawyer. It's think, and they try to contrive a situation. They're thinking themselves through it. They're not feeling it. And the red just feels it. You know, it's like a farmer or like a fireman. They do it without thinking much about it. So the colors, the amount of each graph means something. So we look at about an average of 44, 42, 44. That's normal. 20 is too low. 80 is too high. So we can begin to look at what's going on with each of the notes. I just faked this one. This is a note of C. And we have these sonocards. And for the first, we did this last week too, and people loved it. So the first five people who write to us at Class at Vocal Profiling, we're going to send you a set of these sonocards. But this is a note of C, and it tells you what muscles are involved with a note of C, what amino acids, enzymes, biochemicals. So it's very, very helpful when you're doing someone's chart to be able to refer back to that. There's also this note correlate chart that says, well, the note of C is self-power, ego, self-direction, leadership, excitement, physically motivated. It's also large muscles, the heart, growth, circulation. Female reproduction along with C and C sharp together is female reproduction. Male reproduction is F and F sharp. This is the first half of the chart. It was too big to get on here. Here's the rest of it. But this is available on our site, and you can download it, or you can write to us, call us, and we'll ship it over to you. Not ship it, we'll email it.
Email.
Yeah. So let's look at Christian Bale's tyrannical tirade. I apologize to anybody who has not heard this. I think he said the effing word like 25 times in here.
And on the news it bleeps out the F word. So most of what he says you can't hear because most of it is the F word.
Well, we have a recording. Ben, you wanted us to do this. Why? You just like Batman as a character, or you just like this guy?
Well, I'm curious, I guess, as to whether what he was pissed off about, we'll say.
Pissed off?
Ben wants to know what he's going to be getting into when he starts working with these big four tapes, right?
Well, keep watching here because you're going to fall off your chair when you see the end of this and what's really going on with this guy. Now listen to what he says. Listen to how he makes the other guy talk back to him. For those of you who've been with us, you know that if this was a spontaneous speech, there'd be a lot of red. It would be way up here. The fact that it is green means that he planned this. This is an absolutely planned attack. And when you read between the lines of what he's saying, you know that this guy has done something to Christopher Bale's ego, and he wants to embarrass him in front of somebody. This is all planned, contrived. Now listen to it and see if it sounds spontaneous. It totally does. To me it does. But here goes.
Kick your fucking ass! I want you off the fucking set, you prick! Now don't just be sorry, think for one fucking second! The fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. No! No! Don't shut me up! Am I gonna walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through? Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene? Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was fucking good because it's useless now, isn't it? Fuck's sake, man, you're amateur. Look, G, you have fucking something to say to this prick?
I didn't see it happen.
Well, somebody should be fucking watching and keeping an eye on him.
Fair
enough. It's the second time that he doesn't give a fuck about what is going on in front of the camera. Alright? I'm trying to fucking do a scene here and I'm going, why the fuck is Shane walking in there? What is he doing there? You understand my...
I didn't know it would shut it up. It just goes on in that same manner. And I got 20 so far of those F words. He is attacking a photographer. There is some kind of personal, emotional disorder. I don't want to say disorder. There's some kind of stress between them. They are vying for the attention or the affection of some person. And Batman, Christopher Bale, wanted to embarrass this other guy. It's way out of line as far as I'm concerned. The photographer is Shane Hurlbut. Now, that's bad enough name, Hurlbut. But it's not about what Shane Hurlbut did on the set. There's something totally behind it.
See, I always thought he looked like a prick anyway. Because my first exposure to Christian Bale was American Psycho, and he played that part very well. Very good movie, very violent, but he was a little too good at it, so... But I can't say any more than that. My brother has a man crush on him.
Is he known for this?
No, he's really not. I mean, I've not heard anything. Have you guys? About him in the past. Not really.
One of the websites said he was maybe a known asshole, but...
Really? It's amazing to people
I haven't heard anything very public. Nothing like this.
Nothing like this. Well, he just blurted it all
he's
out.
He's always kind of serious.
Not everybody knows.
He's known being kind of dour and serious.
Yeah. He's definitely not a comedic actor.
But look at what gives this away. His F is high. What is F? Planning. He planned this. What's mostly here is green. He planned it with forethought to create something, to cultivate something. He did this deliberately to impress somebody and embarrass somebody else that they were vying for a position with.
So he was looking for a scenario that he could do this, and they just gave him the ammunition he needed. He already had the gun, apparently.
Yes, but look at how far his ego is up. Not spontaneous ego, which you would think this would be if somebody's walking behind and he wants to get mad about it. This was not spontaneous. We need to get one of those news shows or people shows to publish this, to really dig into this and find out what's really going on with it. This is what it said. Now, this is a computer, guys. I didn't make this up. It is easy for you to see the faults in others, but don't always know how to get your point across politely. I thought it was so funny. I sent it to Ben. He didn't tell me anything back. What did you think when I sent that to you?
It sounded accurate. It didn't sound too polite on the audio.
You can get satisfaction out of being able to help others and find and correct their mistakes.
Made him feel good?
Well, maybe he was really trying to teach this photographer something, but to threaten him and say, I'll never work on another set where you're working, that was a giveaway line. It was just too much for what was going on there. You can easily be distracted from carrying out your plans by a more exciting prospect. He was not distracted here. This was the plan. And there's at least two other kinds of energies in that voice when I hear it. Because I pick voices apart and I could hear when the idea was his and when the idea was somebody else's. So he's discussed this with someone else. This was an absolute plan. He may have been doing it as a favor to somebody, but this photographer is not the real subject here. Okay, any questions about that, guys?
I do.
Yes,
Kathy. Do you think it was a publicity stunt?
No, I don't think it was a publicity stunt because it didn't come out until months later.
Oh.
I think they really tried to bury it, like they're trying to bury Michael Phelps stuff that we can't find.
I thought maybe they were trying to leak it out so there'd be a lot of buzz so people might actually go see that movie.
Because it doesn't look very good.
I didn't know.
It's not one of his finest.
I really thought there would be more red in his voice, too.
Would you go to a movie just because he had a tirade to a photographer? That would tend to make me not go.
I think it might just be click. People looking at Christian Bale stuff and they happen to see the ad on the side. I don't know. They say any press is good press, so I didn't know if this is something that has... You say it was planned. Did you say that you thought that he... discussed it with someone else, or it looked like...
Yes, there was other pieces of energy in there that was not his words. And I have another thing here to show you that. It's one of the very first ones I found, and when you listen to it, there's a quality in the voice that sound, that sound bite's not theirs. And I found one in Bush's farewell speech, and so we're going to play it for people because it's a quality I can't describe. But once you hear it, you'll never forget it. You'll know it's either a lie or it's not their stuff. Ben, were you surprised to know that this was all planned and really not spontaneous?
I was wondering, you said that this is like the second time the VP had messed up. So could it be like he's thinking, planning his head, the next time this guy messes up, I'm going to let him have it? Or would that just be red because it would always be a reaction, even if he was already kind of angry at it from the previous mistake?
Well, it wasn't obvious enough for the producer or anybody on the set to be noticing it. Did you hear that? He said, well, he's asking somebody else, you're going to kick this guy off his head.
That's the director. He said that.
And he said, I didn't see it. Now, how is the director directing a scene and not seeing that in the background?
Yeah, it really kind of has made McG look bad because the director is the one who's his set. He's got to keep the control of everyone. And he just let him go for a long time.
I mean, he would stop for a few seconds and then start back up, you know, and ask questions and pause and then keep going. And, yeah, they totally just let it go. They're
you
like, do what
like,
you want.
You can hear him. He's like, I didn't see it. He's like, we got someone to watch that wreck. He's like, fair enough. He's really just You know, it'd be interesting to know what his voice was at that moment. Uh-huh. Almost, you know, kind of the weak almost position.
Yeah, because Christian Bale was definitely running that set, not the director, at least at that point. Yeah.
If anybody out there has the whole scene with the director stuff in it, send it to us and we'll evaluate.
I'd love to see him. You never know. It could come out.
We're going to kind of change subject here, but I think that would be really interesting to the public to know that, don't you? To know what was really behind that. Let's go to Bush's composites first and look at this. There's his composite, and this is what I want to show you. Does this look like Christopher Bale?
A lot of green, a lot of yellow.
It's almost identical. The Christopher Bale. Now here's Bush's farewell speech. Planned, contrived. That's okay. But not that tirade, that's okay. The difference is Christopher Bale's highest note was an F, planning, and with Bush is words, but their ego is almost identical.
Because former President Bush has to think a lot about the words he speaks to make sure they're actual words.
Wait a minute till you hear this. There's one of them in here that talks about he can't find words.
Yeah.
It's just really funny.
And when I can, I just make them up.
If you ever had to lie to see justice done, you'd do it. Stamina, you have the ability to use words very creatively. You have the ability to inspire people using stories. Let's go back and look at some pieces of his farewell speech. Now, this is the one that's a lie. The two words, wounded warrior, are not his words. They are made up. Somebody else fed this to him. There's nothing in his body that's saying these words except his mouth. And you can hear it so clear.
Because he will soon deploy to Iraq, where he will help save America's wounded warriors and uphold the legacy.
He's talking about somebody that he met that's, I think his son was killed, and he volunteered. He's like 63. He got a waiver. He's talking about this guy and how he believes in the Bush War. But listen to this again. Listen to this word, wounded warrior.
Because he will soon deploy to Iraq, where he will help save America's wounded warriors and uphold the legacy.
Can you hear that? Wounded warriors. It just has no flavor in it. It's not his. If you play that enough, you can get that feel of what that sounds like when somebody's lying to you or it's not their stuff. The other pieces of this is it's only A sharp and B. B service, A sharp spirituality. But remember, it has to melt. It has to match with E. He's talking about this guy deploying to Iraq. A 63-year-old man. You are often haunted by thoughts of what you should have done. Now, the computer said that. You are often distressed by verbal arguments and loud talking. You can get involved quickly without knowing all the facts when you perceive an injustice. Your leadership ability is hampered by lack of opportunity. A farewell speech. He's certainly hampered.
Yes.
I found the same little problem when he was thanking Vice President Cheney. Look at this. Did he mean it? This is the words he's saying.
To Vice President Cheney.
Thanks.
To Vice President Cheney.
Thanks to Vice President Cheney.
To Vice President Cheney.
Now, it's just a little sample. But it only has one little narrow. These are so literal. The voice narrows down. He really doesn't mean that. And it's almost the same printout as came with the Wounded Warriors, where he was saying something he really didn't mean. Only there's a slight difference in the Wounded Warriors that you can feel it's only coming from his mouth. It's not coming from his being. This one's coming from its being. I wonder if we should make these available to people on our site, these little teeny things. This one I was very interested. He was talking about the war and that the toll of the war would be far worse if we had not acted. So his justification. I thought his farewell speech was a lot about justification of things that people say he didn't do well.
What his last couple weeks were, all those interviews he did. It was basically boo-hoo me.
I can't
help what I got thrown into, kind of a thing.
I can't get this one to play. We have it on another. It just won't click. And he's talking about the toll would have been far worse.
Like all who have held this office before me, I have experienced setbacks.
He really, look at his emotion that came in here. Like all of those before me, I have experienced setbacks. We would have to go out of here. I probably just didn't carry it over to this thing that I brought up here, but we'll post this on our site so people can see it. Look at, here you go, Beth. Play that again.
Like all who have held this office before me, I have experienced setbacks.
The right words at the right time can sometimes elude you. There it goes. Because all of the internal dialogue. And I like this one. You wish someone could understand you without demanding a lot of conversation. Just do what I say. You wish for the best, which sometimes leads to statements of hope instead of statements of fact. Again, A, management, high management here. He thinks he did very well, and he's very proud of this. This C, emotional, this is justice. He really believes that he did the right thing.
Well, and isn't that what the one before said, or maybe it was 2 clips ago, that, yeah, he,
when he was saying it?
Yeah, let me see.
And this one was,
where his sense of justice doesn't always jive with the law, but he'll do what he has to see justice fulfilled, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, this one where he's talking about the toll was far worse if we had not acted. It took time out, that little thin clip. And what the computer says, you can be very hard on yourself, taking blame and responsibility. He is blaming himself for what's happening there, but he still thinks he's right. Your reputation is very important to you. You go to great lengths to protect it. What this says here is, this gives accurate, the computer reads this and gives accurate information. That's what's the amazing thing about the nano voice. And you can find out these things about you. And there is Christian Bale and Bush together. Can you tell them apart? They both have a lot of ego. What'd you say, Ben?
That's like a blue slant. It's only left-brained, really, in a way.
My emotions I'm going to display are for outward appearance. But the biggest difference is the shift between E and F. F, planning, and E, the words. So Bush is painting his picture with his words, where Christian Bale planted his picture by planning it and knowing what was going to happen. I just find that is amazing. We have how many minutes left, guys?
It is 9:48.
Okay. I think this is the last picture here, maybe. We could not find this apology that they kept talking about. People read it, newspaper people read it. This is Michael Phelps. Who asked us to do Michael Phelps? Did you do that?
Someone else in the office. I'm curious.
And we're getting
about
calls.
Michael Phelps.
We're getting calls now from people who say, well, could you do Oprah and she's gaining weight and could you do this? You know, if you have somebody you want us to do, yes, we'll do it, and if we want to use it on the air. But why don't you just download the Nano Voice and do it yourself?
Exactly.
And
you don't need us for that.
Now, what we're talking about here, and this is a fake one, by the way, what we're talking about here is the computer giving you that printout. And the course that we're going to do on the 18th is Advanced Techniques for Nano Voice. And this is not a commercial because we're not selling it. The manual's free. The course is free. The class is free. To download the computer program, You don't even have to give us your email. Have you ever seen that before? So we're doing this from the bottom of our soul because this is needed by the people to know what's real. Now, we all think we are trustworthy people and we tell the truth all the time, do we? No, we don't. We wouldn't need the court system if people held told the truth all the time. I was driving down the road one day with my husband, and I was lamenting about this guy who had stole some stuff from us. And I was like, how can people do that? We were good to them. How can they just steal from us? He slammed on the brakes and pulled over the side of this little gravel road we live on. He looked at me and he said, you're the one out of step. People are dishonest. People lie. People this. People this. One out of every 16 adults is in jail. That's incredible. One out of 16 is in jail? Mm-hmm. How many of them got away with things? I just find that incredible that we think of ourselves as an honest, I don't know another word, highly integral humanity, and that's not true. I don't know where that all started, but even animals lie. I've seen birds fake a broken wing to pull somebody away from that bird nest. So animals do it too, but, you know, why do we have to do it? Would you like everybody in your life to be honest and truthful?
If they were polite about it.
Oh, so you don't know how bad you look in the dress, right?
Yeah, don't tell me how bad I look. Just say, that's not the best on you. You should try something else.
Do you ever think that Michael Phelps thought he was going to get caught?
You know, it's so funny. Boy, he is really inhaling there. Look how far his chest is puffed out. He's like, he's already gotten most of it. Look at that bong. There's not even any smoke left.
Maybe there's nothing in it. You know a lot about bongs.
I'm just saying. I'm just looking at it.
This was published overseas. It was at somebody's house, a party or something. And he already has. They've tested him. He has an incredible lung capacity. So.
Oh, yeah. You see those videos of him coming out of the water and his mouth is like that wide. You know, when he's swimming, he's like, ooh, like a horror movie mouth, you know, when they're screaming.
So, right, this was published in the Olympian, and he said, I got this from an article from the Olympian newspaper. I'm 23 years old, and despite the successes I've had in the pool, I acted in a youthful and inappropriate way, not in a manner people have come to expect from me. For this, I am sorry. I promise my fans and the public it will not happen again. I engaged in behavior which was regrettable and demonstrated bad judgment. One, marijuana smoking is illegal, but lots of people do it. Why is this a bad thing? Because it's a bad example for young kids?
Because he's a role model, and I've heard the arguments both ways. He has set himself up to be a role model and said he wants to be one. And I heard a woman on NPR say, you know, well, yeah, he's 23. He's not exactly, like, in high school or anything. A lot of 23-year-olds are holding down jobs and raising kids. But I know a lot of 23-year-olds holding down jobs, raising kids, but still occasionally, you know, partake of things like that. Is that so bad? They're still responsible. And I really don't think it's his fault if now and then he cuts back, you know. He shouldn't have to be somebody's kid's role model. That's what parents are for.
24 hours a day. Do you think marijuana imbibing causes a problem for people? Is getting high back?
I personally don't think so. I think it's just like drinking if you do it in moderation. You know, my 3 or 4 glasses of scotch every Friday night, a little too much, you know, but the glass of wine I have with dinner during the week, that's fine. You know, it's that balance, and, you know, anything you do too much is potentially bad for you, but you know, I don't see anything really inappropriate with going to a party and having fun, because that's what you go to a party for anyway. You don't go to stand around and be the square peg, you know. You go to have fun and cut loose, and that's where he was. He was at a party. They said he was crazy the moment he walked in. He probably needed that, you know. He's been all training so hard, and he's done all this, accomplished all this stuff. He needed to just get hammered and smoke some ganja and have some fun and forget about everything for a while.
Would alcohol have been better? Would that have been more acceptable?
I think, obviously, because... Yeah, because he's of legal age. But is it really any different when you think about it?
I find when people come to the office and they've smoked pot, their short-term memory goes. So I don't think it has any place in the workforce.
Oh, no.
At all. But if he's letting loose and that's how he wants to do it, I don't mind.
Yeah, if it's an occasional thing, I don't see why anyone could complain. It's not like he was huffing up before he jumped in the pool and people were watching him over there with his little bowl. You know, he's, whatever he does in certain circumstances, he does in certain circumstances.
Because kids are going to come back and say, well, Michael Phelps did it. It's okay for me, too.
Those same kids are the ones already smoking it. I'm sorry. But people who slam him for it are people who just think it's wrong, and people who stick up for him are people who have done it before, or, you know, they feel some connection, you know, an 18-year-old who's just like, I don't see why that's a problem, is probably smoking it. So
I'm going to get a recording of this and see what your voice says, what you really mean.
Okay.
There's some conflict in your voice. We could not get a recording of his voice. If anybody has it, please send us a link so we can do it. So we thought we would tell you what marijuana looks like in a chart. It's a D sharp, and it's probably going to come up as spontaneous. It's going to come up on the chart as a toxin. But you have to be careful because the frequency of marijuana is the exact, down to 4 or 5 decimal points, of a hormone both needed by males and females called progesterone. So it's going to look like a natural thing in the chart, but high, if it's the progesterone, and it's going to look like the architecture of a toxin, which is a big spike, if it's actually the marijuana. So if you want to smoke and test this out, and somebody did approach me about doing a project of smoking pot before and after to see what it does, we have to ask permission for any research project we do, so I don't quite know even how to start that one.
That one would be kind of hard to get around the logistics of it, I think. It'd be very interesting. And don't think, you know, I'm not saying I'm promoting pot. I'm saying I've done it in the past. I know what it's like. I don't see the big what to do about it. If somebody's at a party and they decide to do it.
Well, presidents admitted doing it.
Yeah.
Vice President.
Bill Clinton. And you see how cool he is. But he doesn't do it now. See the difference? You know, that balance, perspective.
Well, here's how to get in touch with us. This advanced nano class, I'm going to be teaching it. It's going to be online, or you can come and visit us and be here too. It'll be 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's going to be 3 Pacific, February 18th. It is free, but space is limited. You must register by calling class@vocalprofiling.com or email me, sherry.onair@gmail.com. Please join us. And all of this is brought to you by InnerSense Software, and we created that for the people so that you can find a way to bring what's inside to consciousness in hopes of a better world. Thanks for joining us.
Sharing. That's awesome. I want to know what you're doing. She's up late every night. What are you doing up late every night while you're working?
You know what I always say?
What?
Moderation.